Hey, welcome to today's podcast. Kind of a different one today because we were taking the hearing as it was happening during most of the show today. And that hearing is Cohen. And Cohen is such a dirtbag. And it becomes very, very obvious. We went over everything that he said he had, that he would have. We listened to his testimony, listened to the ridiculous questions that were being posed to him.
Yep.
And I don't think it's going to change anybody's mind.
We didn't have a chance. We'd go through all the evidence that Cohen presents. We go through a bunch of the audio. And we also talk about a story in Connecticut where two transgender former male, current female, if you understand the narrative, they're racing lost against other high school students that are girls and beating them very consistently, shockingly. The girl's getting a little annoyed about that.
And when you can understand the Cohen hearing, when that makes more sense than the story that you just heard, as I asked Ben Sasse, what is the state of the American soul today? You'll hear that, his response, and much more on today's podcast.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Home title lock. Home title lock is something that Stu has and Pat has. These guys both brought it to me off air going, do you know about this? This is the most incredible thing ever. Once you do your homework and you realize how vulnerable your actual title is to your home, and nobody's watching it, no insurance covers it, no bank covers it, nobody's watching this. Mm-hmm. There's one company that can stand there at the vault where all of America's titles go in. And they're held, and then when they're changed, they come out through the same vault door, and Home Title Lock is there. So if your title is going in and out, they immediately call you. Hey, did you sell your house? No. Okay. And then they take care of it for you.
It really just comes down to whether the thief chooses you or not.
It is.
At this point, if you're not protected, they can really do this easily.
And get away with it for a long time. And the longer it sits, the worse it becomes. HomeTitleLock.com. Make sure your family has this. Make sure your kids have this if they own a home. Make sure your parents have this. Get your $100 search for free when you sign up at HomeTitleLock.com. HomeTitleLock.com. I have asked the committee to ensure that my family be protected from presidential threats and the committee be sensitive to the questions pertaining to ongoing investigations. I'm here under oath to correct the record, to answer the committee's questions truthfully, and offer the American people what I know about President Trump. I recognize that some of you may have doubt and attack on my credibility. Yeah, every American, both Republican, Democrat, in the press, out of the press, everyone should have deep questions about this man's credibility. This guy has been a weasel, I think, probably since birth. He is a bad, bad guy. If you remember, one of our problems, in fact, one of our biggest problems with Donald Trump, and the reason why we said you can't trust him, is because he used to always say, I've got the best people around me, and they were the worst people. In particular, Cohen was one of them at the top of our list. Mm-hmm. Bannon was at the top of our list.
Roger Stone
was at the top of the list. You had Manafort. Mm-hmm. And we told you all of the things that were going to happen because of these people. Now that these people are gone, it's a lot better. But it's these people that have gotten him into so much hot water and so much trouble. They were not trustworthy then. They're not trustworthy now. So what does the testimony of Michael Cohen even mean? Nothing. Nothing. Unless he has evidence, which they say he's going to be presenting evidence. We'll wait and see. I've heard a lot of things, too. And monkeys will fly out of your butt when the media starts to get things right on this case. So what is he going to be talking about today?
Yeah, and I'm glad you set it up that way because it's important to you see that a lot of people who were, you know, big Trump defenders in the media were saying Michael Cohen was a great guy, and now they're saying he's a terrible guy. Mm-hmm. And the media was all saying Michael Cohen was a terrible guy, and now they're saying he's a great guy. Now they're all over him. He's the most credible person in the entire universe. He has never been credible. If what he goes to prison for is 1/1,000th of the crimes he's committed in his life, I would be stunned.
Me too.
I mean, you cannot take anything that he says seriously unless he has significant evidence to back it up. Mm-hmm. But maybe we should go through this. I mean, look, everyone's going to be talking about it, and you should know what's in it.
And we have Jason Buttrill in with us, and Jason is going to be monitoring. In hour number two, he's going to be monitoring the testimony. So he's listening. It's so we don't have to. And we're having you have this show, so you don't have to do it. So we are passing the buck and we're giving it to Jason, our head researcher, to follow. And we'll break in if there's anything big.
I'm thrilled personally because usually I have to read like a 500 page report.
Right.
So now I just had to listen to it.
This is easy. This is easy.
So what we have here is a 20-page document. It is from Michael Cohen. It is reportedly, by all accounts, his prepared opening statement today in the testimony. So
he says he's ashamed. He's ashamed of his failings. He's ashamed of his weakness. He's ashamed of his misplaced loyalty. He's ashamed of the things I did for Mr. Trump. I'm ashamed that I chose to take part in concealing Mr. Trump's illicit acts. I'm ashamed that because I know what Mr. Trump is. I'm quoting, he's a racist, he's a con man, he's a cheat.
And that's kind of the setup of it. I guess you can, why don't we go through each claim?
Sure.
And
sure.
Maybe you can tell me, Glenn, do you think this is going to be effective of the American people? How do they react to this?
Yep.
All right. Let's start here. He first starts off with the BuzzFeed report, which was about how Michael Cohen was told specifically from Donald Trump to lie to Congress. Cohen refutes that at some level. He says, Mr. Trump did not directly tell me to lie to Congress. That's not how he operates. In conversations we had during the campaign, at the same time I was actively negotiating in Russia for him, he would look me in the eye and tell me there's no business in Russia and then go out and lie to the American people by saying the same thing. In his way, he was telling me to lie.
Well, I believe that to be true, but I don't think the American people are going to care.
And this has already come out, right? Like we know that he said there was no business in Russia, and he did have the signed letter of intent. That's all come out.
So, is there anybody? I mean, when people said, "I'm not electing a pope, I'm electing a president," what you were really saying was, "Look, I know this guy is dirty, but I don't care."
The New York real estate business is known
for it's
these
shady,
things, right?
It's dirty. Yeah. So I don't think. I think. To me, it matters, okay? But it mattered during the election. Americans made their choice, and they chose to go with a guy who they knew was shady.
It's been priced in, right,
on
Donald Trump,
so I don't
right?
think this is going to matter.
Okay. There were at least a half dozen times between the Iowa caucus in January 2016 and the end of June where he would ask me, how is it going in Russia? Again, insinuating that he was all over this the entire time and then lied about it. But again, that's kind of what we know about that. Another one that's interesting is he says, you need to know Mr. Trump's personal lawyers reviewed and edited my statement to Congress about the timing of the Moscow negotiations before I gave it, saying it was not his own lie, but the lawyers actually, were part of this. He's essentially accusing the lawyers of intentionally, lying to Congress as well. They're approving his statements. He says, again, to be clear, Mr. Trump knew of and directed the Trump-Moscow negotiations throughout the campaign and lied about it. He lied about it because he never expected to win the election. He also lied about it because he stood to make hundreds of millions of dollars on the Moscow real estate project. Anything new there that you think would be impactful?
Nope.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
Nope.
Okay.
You're the one who raised your hand. The other attorneys did not. Mm-hmm. You raised your hand.
Mm-hmm. He says Trump never expected to win the primary, never expected to win the election. The campaign for him was always a marketing opportunity.
I agree with that.
He also says that Trump would often say the campaign was going to be the greatest infomercial in political history.
I agree with that.
But again, not impactful, I don't think, on the administration in any way. He says, I knew early on that Trump would direct me to lie further to further his business interests. I'm ashamed to say that when it was for a real estate mogul in the private sector, I considered it trivial. As the president, I consider it significant and dangerous.
I don't believe that at all.
This is the type of thing where you can't believe Cohen at all.
No, I don't believe him at all.
Lying is his first language.
Yeah.
Okay? His first. And he has no credibility. You can't. When he has these little moral moments throughout this thing, I don't take any of that seriously.
Nope.
I think right now he's decided this is the thing he wants to do. which is, you know, take down Donald Trump with some things that may be true, some things that may not. The bottom line is, though, that's his motivation now, and it should be seen through that lens.
This is a mobster that would say, you know, when I was killing, you know, when I was killing Vito the Shark and Tommy Knuckles, I didn't have a problem with it. But as soon as I had to kill, you know, their wives, well, then I really had a problem. Look, killing is killing,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, right.
Killing is killing.
Mm-hmm. Tommy Knuckles, I like that. Okay, a lot of people have asked me whether Mr. Trump knew about the release of hacked Democratic National Committee emails ahead of time. The answer is yes. So this is another one where, okay, this has been one of the big accusations. Is there any evidence of this? Here's what he says. In July 2016, days before the Democratic convention, I was in Mr. Trump's office when his secretary announced Roger Stone was on the phone. Mr. Trump put Mr. Stone on the speakerphone. Mr. Stone told Mr. Trump that he had just gotten off the phone with Julian Assange, and Mr. Assange told Stone that within a couple of days, there would be a massive dump of emails that would damage Hillary Clinton's campaign. Mr. Trump responded by stating to the effect, wouldn't that be great?
I believe that.
You believe that happened?
Yeah.
Now, whether Stone actually talked to Assange, we don't know.
Yeah.
He could have easily been puffing up his chest.
Because
and
Stone
being
is a liar.
Stone's also...
Stone would lie to Trump to raise his position in the organization. So I don't know if Stone is lying or not. He may have, he may not have. But I do believe that Donald Trump is the guy who would have gotten on the phone and with Stone, and he would have said, hey, man, I just talked to Julian Assange, and I can give you all the details, but something's coming out on Donald, on Hillary. Wouldn't that be great? And that fits what happened in the timeline. It fits with him. Remember the press conference he gave and said, hey, some things are going to be coming out. Remember that? In the last few days, things are going to be coming out. So, yeah, it looks like that. Also, it fits to me. Remember, the only thing at that time that Trump's team, they say not Trump, but Trump's team, and I believe this with... between Stone and Manafort, it may have just been Trump's team and Trump just saying, hey, just take care of this. Let's just make sure we're friendly. Remember, the only thing they cared about in the platform was going soft on Russia's policy for the Ukraine. You remember?
I do remember that story, yeah.
And so that's all happening in the same week that this is. Is it going to matter? No. It didn't matter then. It won't matter now.
Just to point out, that does contradict Stone's the government's case against Roger Stone. Mm-hmm. In his text messages, he kept repeatedly saying that no one from the Trump camp was listening to him as far as Assange's emails. He said he was reaching out to a guy that was unnamed, but we all know now that it was Steve Bannon. That was his contact. It was never directly with the president, according to his text messages and the federal government's indictment. But he kept saying, I'm reaching out to tell Steve Bannon this, but he's not listening. No one will listen to me on this.
And again, you have to understand, you have to put Roger Stone in context. He very well could have been lying on all the text messages, too. Mm-hmm. He lies all the time.
Yeah,
that's all he does. So you can't really, it's hard to get, it's interesting because we talked about this as people surrounding Trump during the campaign. A lot of them are sincerely problematic people that lie all the time in a way that inoculates Trump here because you can't trust any of the insiders.
Yeah.
Any of them that have accounts against Donald Trump are so untrustworthy and been shown to be so untrustworthy so many times. You can't believe any of their claims.
Yeah.
Even when they're texting about things that are bad for them or good for them, there's always an agenda behind it.
Remember, it was Nixon's attorney that said under oath, like on a day like today, when they really didn't have anything, and he said under oath, I think the president has been taping our conversations. Well, as soon as that came out, then they started looking for the tapes.
Right.
And then that's why Watergate broke apart, was because of Nixon's attorney testifying that he thought the president was making tapes. But those guys didn't have any credibility either. They had no credibility.
Well, Dean had more credibility than Stone or Cohen, though.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. But they all went to jail.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
Pat Gray is joining us now. There is something that's really interesting. This whole system is already beginning to fall apart, even before it has really even been fully implemented, and that is now with transgender. The truth is that women and men are built differently. That's science.
Wow, did you hear that?
I know.
On the radio, he
said.
Wow.
I did. Wow. I did. Yeah, so they're built differently. And now who's suffering? The girls in school. The girls who are losing their scholarships to go to college. They're losing them to guys who now are transitioning to be women because they're faster runners. And they don't think that's fair. What a surprise.
In Connecticut, it happened with two girls, two trans girls, in one race. The top two winners were both transgender. I mean, so it's really starting to affect women's sports, and they're not happy about it. And when they speak out about it, they get beat to a pulp because you're not supposed to say anything.
They just kicked Billie Jean King out of the, I don't know, the clubhouse.
Martina Navratilova.
No, Billie Jean King.
Billie Jean too?
Yeah, Billie Jean King this week.
Wow.
Martina Navratilova.
Last week.
Last week.
Yeah.
So they are...
That's incredible. And here's...
These are people who stood...
They were pioneers.
They were... This is like kicking Martin Luther King out of a civil rights group today.
Right.
And believe me, if Martin Luther King were alive, they would kick him out.
Mm-hmm. It's probably true.
First of all, he was way too religious, that guy.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there were reverend before his name.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I mean, and he talked a lot about personal responsibility. I mean, he talked a lot about being not
colorblind. Yeah. It's wrong now to be colorblind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Wait a minute. I thought that was the point.
You thought wrong.
And,
yeah.
And gender,
no, I didn't. No,
gender
I didn't.
Is about identity and feelings. Feelings...
It's something races.
That Morris Albert sings about. That's not what you're supposed to base gender on.
Right.
I remember that.
Come on.
Remember watching, because we were talking about this. What's the difference here between gender? Like, we're describing something, right? There are organs on a person, and that's what we're describing. And they seem to be describing something else. And we were watching, this is when we were on Pat and Stu, and we watched a clip about Ellen talking about it. And she said, gender is a feeling you have in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Or in your heart.
That's right.
And it's like, well, just talking about your feelings may have value, but I don't think it has value in this conversation.
Well, wait a minute. If that is true, fine. Then we need to use science and talk about the body, not your feeling, when you're competing with sports.
Yes.
You're only hurting the girls. You're hurting the girls. And this is proof positive that... Socialism will never take hold. You'll have to kill millions of people because socialism, as I'm going to explain in my CPAC speech, has nothing to do with fairness or justice, has nothing to do with it. Okay. That's not its goal. That's the goal of the free market system. That's the goal of a constitutional republic is justice, as close as we can get to justice. Here's what's happening. Americans are fair. Americans are open. Americans do not want to judge their neighbor and somebody who lives differently than them. For the most part, there are bigots on both sides. Okay. But for the most part, people are like, look, man, you want to call yourself a chick? Call yourself a chick, whatever. If you want to live like a woman, fine, do it. I don't have a problem with that. However, when it starts to affect me and my life, then I have a problem.
And, as you should.
Right. And as it is now starting to trickle down into all of these kids that said, no, I'm for fairness. Well, yes, so are conservatives. So are constitutional libertarians. We are for being fair and open and decent. But once it starts to hinder your life and your rights... You don't have, no one person has a right to trample on the rights of another. And by competing, if we're going to put men and women in the same sport, fine, then it makes no difference. But we separated it because Americans knew scientifically men and women are built differently. They just are. And you have to reject all science to think differently. And so we separated them. So it would be fair so the girls could win. What are the girls saying now in Connecticut?
They're pissed. They're losing out on scholarships. It's just unfair.
And they say they know what the outcome is before the race is even won.
Yes.
Before yes. before they even start, they know those people are going to win because they're built as a man. And so they're going to win. And they said, every race, it's the same. Why are we even racing?
Yeah, and these are the kids who have been taught their whole lives that they should be inclusive and they want to be. They should be diverse and they want to be. And then they get to this and they're finding out that now there's some problems with all of that. Yeah, yeah. We want to be inclusive and we want to be diverse and all those things are great. But there's also fact. Mm-hmm. There's also science and reason and logic. And it's not logical for these, you know, these are identifying as women, but they got a man unit in their pants. Right. That makes it different.
And a bunch of testosterone.
You know what? It's different. Right.
That the man unit, besides the testosterone, doesn't matter. It's the muscle mass and the bone structure.
Yeah, but it's because they have a man unit in their pants.
Correct.
They have a different muscle structure.
Correct.
And this is
why
we don't have kids making these decisions. They eat paste, right? Like, this is not...
and Tide Pods.
Yeah, and Tide Pods. Thank you.
Yes.
And it's like, you know...
I got news for you. It's not kids making this decision. Those are adults that have been making these decisions.
Right, yeah. But the kids have been grown up...
Yes.
Are growing up under those conditions where that is now just
and
the
truth. They've
and
bought into all that
They bought into it.
But now it's affecting them.
Yeah, I mean, kind of goes back to what I believe is the light in the life of one Pat Gray and the Pat Gray Unleashed program, which is liberals eating their own.
Mm-hmm.
And you watch this kind of go on.
It's fun.
It is fun at some level. But I mean, like, you know, we talked about this a while ago. I mean, RuPaul got in trouble for saying the word tranny.
Yes.
RuPaul.
Jeez.
We played the clip of Patton Oswalt. I don't think we have it around anymore, but of him, a progressive guy, going off on this and saying, can you believe, I mean, this is a guy who blazed paths.
Uh-huh.
He's a guy who's on Logo, which is like the, you know, the gay cable network for, you know, gay programming. He was had a big show on that network. He is a guy that everybody knew as a cross-dresser and someone who embraced these progressive values. Now he's becoming a victim because he used the word tranny, which is not even okay for him to use. It goes so far
Can
so fast because there's no principles here. It's all a moving target.
It's all emotion.
And it's all emotion.
Let me ask you this. Anybody notice who one of the speakers is at CPAC?
Glenn Beck?
No. Van Jones.
Oh, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Van.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Jones.
Which is an amazing world. Glenn Beck and Van Jones on the stage
CPAC.
At CPAC.
That's fascinating.
Wow, the
Not
world
together,
changes.
But, here's the thing.
What's he talking about?
I'm sure he's talking about justice.
Yeah.
Yeah. And working together. And here's the thing. He's an outcast.
Of the left.
Of the left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's an outcast. The guy was a communist. He's an outcast. The guy who I said 10 years ago is the most radical guy in the administration is not radical enough and is speaking at CPAC.
Holy crap.
So incredible.
It's incredible.
So incredible. And with the transgender thing... You know, all across the nation, everybody's trying to figure out how to deal with it. In Texas, there's a rule that you've got to compete under the gender that's on your birth certificate. So that caused a problem because a girl who wanted to compete with boys and she's on the testosterone hormone treatment. Uh-huh. So she's stronger and more agile and dominating in women's wrestling. But she had to. She wanted to compete against the boys. They wouldn't let her. In Connecticut, it's different. It's the gender with which you'd identify.
And
you get to compete.
In Texas, are they doing the hormones because of a transition or is it because of a medical
because of a transition.
Condition?
Because of the transition.
So they can't, because you wouldn't normally be able to use, let's say, steroids, right?
Right.
Because
they make the exception for the transition person.
And that's, again, where the issue stands,
right? You shouldn't be able to. Yeah, again,
it's a chemistry issue
it's
here.
A problem.
If they're taking these things really for any reason, I mean, I think you'd feel bad if it was for like.
That's why you get kicked out of Major League Baseball for taking testosterone. It makes you stronger and faster.
Yeah,
it's
Lance Armstrong.
It's really,
right? That was part of his situation
it's
as well.
Really, truly amazing how the effects are so clear and are going to pile up faster and faster once you start rejecting science. Once you reject science, I mean, that's the meaning behind my last book. It's science, and it's dismantling absolutely everything in our society. Once you start to dismantle science, you can't go to the moon anymore because 2 + 2 = 5 sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, what? You can't do anything. Our whole world is based upon science and empirical evidence. Now, nothing is. Nothing is.
And isn't it fascinating that they used to throw that around at us, that we're the science deniers? And now it's the Democrats who are denying science on whether a fetus is a human being. And
whether a baby
whether
is a human.
Whether a baby is a human being. And it's not what's in your pants that decides. It's how you feel in your head that decides your gender. What? No, it isn't. No, it isn't.
Now, to be American, if you want to say you're a woman and you're a man, because that's the way you feel, mm-hmm. and you have a gender issue, okay.
Go ahead.
And I might even call you ma'am, because I don't need to hurt your feelings. I don't need to prove anything to you or whatever. I don't, you know, it depends on how deep this goes and if I, how much I have to, you know, honor your delusion. I'm not going to go down that road, but to be polite, I'm living next to a guy who dresses like a woman. I'm going to tell my kids, yeah, he's got some gender issues. You know what? But he's our neighbor. We love him. Just be polite, you know, say good morning, ma'am, or whatever. Okay. Let's just be cool with each other. Americans want to live that way. They just don't want it forced down their throat. And that means they don't want somebody saying, you're gay? No, you can't love another person of your gender. You can't do that. You can't do that. They don't want that either. They just want, oh, you're gay. Oh, you're living with another person of your gender. Okay. Kids, that's homosexuality. We think it's wrong. They think it's right. Okay, move on with your life. That's what America wants. And for some reason, there are others. Well, I don't need to say for some reason. For reasons of power and control and manipulation, they must have us all think alike. They must have us toe the line. Whatever that line is today, it'll be different tomorrow. But we must all learn, you toe the line. That's the end of America. That's the end of the American experiment. That's the end of everything we are as a species. That's what this battle is about. And we are at the end of this battle. Now, it's going to go on. If they win, it's going to go on until they are thwarted 100 years from now. Maybe longer than that because of technology. But that battle will continue one way or another. But we are about to be put in a cage. I mean, I don't know if you realize 5G, that decision is being made right now. They are building a rat trap. China is building a rat trap. We're at the height of the Cold War with the missiles. And we don't even know it. Nobody's even talking about it. In the next 6 to 18 months, places like Germany and Britain and Australia, they're all deciding whether or not, yeah, we can have Huawei technology for our 5G. If that technology is put in, China rules all information. They have access to every single gas line that runs around the world. They win every war before a bullet is ever fought. And what are we talking about? We're talking about Cohen. Get your priorities together, America. Science matters. Facts matter.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hey, it's Glenn, and I want to tell you about something that you should either end your day with or start your morning with, and that is The News and Why It Matters. If you like this show, you're going to love The News and Why It Matters. It's a bunch of us that all get together at the end of the day and just talk about the stories that matter to you and your life. The News and Why It Matters. Look for it now wherever you download your favorite podcast.
I could not be a more committed, progressive, feminist, pro-gay, pro-transgender person, but I cannot keep up with the glossary of correct terms.
Patton Oswalt.
I want to help, but holy f***. It's like a secret club password. They change it every week, and then you're in trouble. That's not the word we use. It was last week. I have hemorrhoids. My ass is falling out. I want to help. I know I'm an old cis white f***er, but don't give me sh*t because I didn't know the right term. RuPaul got into sh*t for saying tranny. RuPaul.
Amazing.
They're eating themselves, and it's a joy to watch.
You're listening to the best of the Glenn Beck Program. Like listening to this podcast? If you're not a subscriber, become one now on iTunes. And while you're there, do us a favor and rate the show.
The Republicans don't have any leg to stand on either. They loved Cohen when he was defending the president, and he had no credibility then either.
Yeah, I like Jim Jordan, but Lanny Davis did not discover Michael Cohen. Michael Cohen was in the organization for a very long time. That's why we know who he is. And he was on television, being sent on television to defend the president for a very long time.
And a lot of people liked that. And he was a liar then. He's a liar now. There's just not a lot to say. It's now 26 minutes into his testimony. He hasn't spoken a word.
This is exactly what you'd expect from this. Jason, what are we getting here? We got about a minute before we have to go to break, and we're going to come back with more of the testimony.
So Jordan was just, he yielded his time over just prematurely, but then he was like, oh, wait a minute. And then Cummings was like, no, you yielded your time. And he's like, but I have a motion. And he's like, no, not going to hear your motion. You're done. And then Jordan's like, oh, that's how you're going to operate? Okay.
I mean, this is getting fiery.
It's just like, this is the show, right? It's a big show for both sides to get out their arguments and say that they're, you know, trying really hard and tough. And like, look, Jordan's correct here. Cohen is... has zero credibility. Zero. I mean, it's really less than zero. The guy has been lying. Basically, in every time you've ever seen him speak has been a lie. So to bring him in and act as if he's credible now is completely disingenuous from the Democrats. And it was also disingenuous from the Republicans when they were treating him credibly back in the day.
You know what's amazing to me is we have actual issues going on.
President's in North Korea, or in Vietnam, talking about North Korea.
I mean, that's going on. Our special forces this week, it was found out, are now training for operations against China and Russia and de-emphasizing the Middle East and terror. This started because of China and Russia, and there's nobody talking about that. This is not about actually finding any truth and anything that is going to help the American people. This is a political, and you said it right, show. All the world has become a stage. And we're just watching a show while the real moves are being made by Russia and China and the financial and tech centers. What are we doing? What are we doing, America? Wake up.
This is the best of the Glenn Beck Program.
This week already, Democrats voted against protecting newborns who were born alive so the doctor or their parents could kill the child. Now those same people who want us to be able to kill baby bring us a con man, convicted felon, and perjurer to try to tell us this person can be trusted. We have to hear the truth. Ben Sass is here. What is the state of the American soul, Ben?
Oh, Glenn, that's too big for a Wednesday morning. Monday night in the Senate was a shameful disgrace. I mean, I remain optimistic about the pro-life movement in the long term.
So do I.
For a whole bunch of reasons. But one of the basic ones is there's a lot more imaging technology in the world. And what mm-hmm. we find is as people see more 3D images of what's happening in utero, they recognize that a baby's a baby. The pro-baby position and the pro-compassion position, the pro-science position actually are all the same one.
Yep.
So I'm optimistic. But America's soul on display, at least through its supposedly greatest deliberative body, Monday night was tragic.
So, Ben, what does this say to I think... And I don't know where the cutoff is with God, but I believe in an American covenant that was started with George Washington and that he will withdraw his protection. And I think some of that has been withdrawn slowly. But when we can't say, hey, we're not going to kill newborns, and everybody knows that's infanticide, I think God withdraws from that. What does that say about the Democratic presidential candidates? I mean, what's going to happen to the Democratic Party when they embrace the worst possible position and say, yep, we're okay with that?
Yeah, I mean, so let's distinguish between one really big point and then a smaller political point. But the first and bigger point, bigger than politics, is it shouldn't be right versus left to affirm human dignity.
No.
When we believe the American experiment is premised on the idea that everybody's an image bearer, that God created people with dignity and with rights. Government is not the author or source of your rights. Government is just our shared project. It's a tool to secure rights that we've already been given by God. And you have to affirm universal dignity to understand what America's about. That is not Republican versus Democrat. It should be bigger than that. Now, the much narrower political point is there's so much broken tribalism in our country that we're not having a conversation that pretends the 320 million of us are in anything together. And so you had 44 Democrats out of 100 people in the U.S. Senate vote against a resolution Monday night that was really just condemning infanticide. I'm as pro-life as they come, and unapologetically so. But our bill Monday night wasn't actually about abortion. It didn't touch Roe v. Wade. It didn't have anything to do with abortion access. It's about babies that have already been born alive. And we had, I think, six Democrats. I was floor manager Monday afternoon en route to the vote. And I think we had six Democrats make speeches, and four of them were just filled with blatant lies, talking about health of the mother and the second trimester, mm-hmm. and debates that are messier than what we're actually talking about here. Their stuff had nothing to do with the bill whatsoever. They were making up stuff that isn't anywhere in the text of the bill at all. And I think they can get away with lying like that simply because they know that America's tribal enough that people only listen inside their own silos, and they're not going to be called to account because they're talking to people who already agreed with them. That's how a republic dies. We're supposed to believe some stuff in common.
Ben, I can't thank you enough for making this stand and pushing and standing tall on this and firm. We're behind you, and we support you on this effort and many of the other efforts. You are a guy who possibly can bring us back together. And as strange as this may sound, abortion in the end may be one of those things that brings us back together, because the left has gone so far. They're in the territory of a Jason movie almost. Senator Ben Sasse, thank you so much for joining us.
The best of the Glenn Beck program.
Hi, it's Glenn. If you're a subscriber to the podcast, can you do us a favor and rate us on iTunes? If you're not a subscriber, become one today and listen on your own time. You can subscribe on iTunes. Thanks.
I'm so disappointed in you, Stu.
Are you?
These are important questions. These are really important questions. And you fail to see the importance. You have Ms. Norton.
Yeah, hi. Okay. I just want to say the Access Hollywood tape.
Yeah,
that had
it's
a lot
an important
of,
thing. This is a congressional hearing.
Had a lot of hits on the website.
Yeah,
and it shut down the newspaper servers.
It did.
It set a record for a lot of hits in a short time.
Access Hollywood,
and that was the tape that was out for the people to hear and see.
And what's your question?
And people went on the internet, which is a series of tubes that creates information and collects it. Like a bank tube, and it goes from one side of your computer to the other, and then over to your neighbor's computer, and then continues to go down your street until it leaves your street and goes into the center of town. At that time, is then able to be passed along to other areas of the country through the tubes carried by small hamsters who walk the information to the computer that you're designing.
Yep. Mr. Chairman, I would just ask that the gentlewoman is please instructed to shut up. She's hurting our case.
I mean, you have this big moment in front of national TV, this, you know, Michael Cohen, you have a very short amount of time, and she's legitimately praising the web stats of the Access Hollywood video.
Well, because mm-hmm. Cohen needed to say, Hope Hicks asked me to call the networks and spin the Access Hollywood tape. Now,
well, he's working,
he's
for,
working
the campaign.
For the president,
yes,
and they're running for,
do.
Of course he's spinning. Who was surprised by this?
That's,
go ahead, bring this in.
The Access Hollywood study in terms of impact on the election.
I was concerned about it, but more importantly, Mr. Trump was concerned about it.
That was my next question. What was the president's concern about these matters becoming public in October?
What do you think? This is so ridiculous. What was the?
I don't think anybody would dispute this.
Yeah.
Belief that after the wildfire that encompassed the Billy Bush tape, that a second follow-up to it would have been pleasant, and he was concerned with the effect that it had had on the campaign. On how women were seeing him, and ultimately whether or not he would have a shot in the general election.
And so you negotiated the $130,000 payment.
But it had nothing to
do with that. The $130,000 number was not a number that was actually negotiated. It was told to me by Keith Davidson that this is a number that Ms. Clifford wanted.
Well, you finally completed that deal, as it were, on October the 25th, days before the election. What happened in the interim?
Contemplated whether or not to do it. Wasn't sure if she was really going to go public. It was, again, some communications back and forth between myself and Keith Davidson. And ultimately, it came to either do it or don't. At which time, again, I had gone into Mr. Trump's
I'd like to,
office.
If I could I go back to the Access Hollywood tape that was on the internet? This was a diesel bus, was it not? It was run on diesel fuel, and when it was fueled up, it would have to go to a diesel pump that's just different from the unleaded pumps.
Yes.
Now, there's three varieties, of course, of unleaded. You have the regular.
Yes, can I ask the committee member to
Supreme
tell us why? Why that's important.
Now, if
at
you
all.
Have a membership card to the gas station, you can earn points, and those points will then refer to lower gas prices in the future. But filling a diesel tank with regular unleaded would be a
hang
real
on. Here's Mr. Meadows. Here's Mr. Meadows.
To actually shed some light, how long have you known Ms. Patton?
I'm responsible for Lynn Patton joining the Trump Organization and the job that she currently holds.
Well, I'm glad you acknowledge that, because you made some very demeaning comments about the president that Ms. Patton doesn't agree with. In fact, it has to do with your claim of racism. She says that as a daughter of a man born in Birmingham, Alabama, that there is no way that she would work for an individual who was racist. How do you reconcile the two of those, Ms. Patton?
As neither should I, as the son of a Holocaust survivor.
Wait.
Mr. Cohen.
Wait.
I guess what I'm saying is I've talked to the president over 300 times. I've not heard one time a racist comment out of his mouth in private. So how do you reconcile it? Do you have proof of those conversations?
I would ask you to
Do you
ask,
have tape recordings of those conversations?
No, sir.
Well, you've taped everybody else.
That's,
why wouldn't you have a tape?
That's also not true, sir. That's not true.
You haven't taped anybody?
I have taped individuals.
How many times have you taped individuals?
Maybe 100 times over 10 years.
Is that a low estimate? Because I've heard it's over 200 times.
No, I don't think. I think it's approximately 100 from what I recall. But I would ask you, sir.
Do you have proof? Yes or no?
I do.
Oh, where's the proof?
Ask Ms. Patton how many people who are black are executives at the Trump Organization.
That's not. Oh my gosh.
As we said, he's not a good lawyer. No one ever accused him of being a good lawyer.
Horrible.
Yeah, I mean, he just is just. This
all right, let me go on a little bit further. Did you collect $1.2 million or so from Novartis?
I did.
For access to the Trump administration?
No, sir.
Why did you collect it?
Because they came to me based upon my knowledge of the enigma, Donald Trump, what he thinks.
So they paid you,
sir, please let me finish.
No, did they pay you $1.2 million to give them advice?
Yes, they did. A multi-billion dollar conglomerate came to me looking for information, not something that's unusual here in D.C., looking for information, and they believed that I had a value.
So how many times did you meet with them?
Was the insight that I was capable of offering them.
How many
times? They were willing to pay.
How many times did you meet with them? For $1.2 million, how many times did you meet with them?
I provided them with both in person as well as telephone access whenever they needed.
How many times? Yes, sir. That's a question, Mr. Cohen.
I don't recall, sir.
So did you ever talk to them?
I spoke to them on several occasions, yes.
How many?
Six times.
Six times. Wow. $200,000 a call.
Sir, I also would like to,
right,
I also would like to bring
this
to your attention.
This is my 5 minutes, Mr. Cohen, not yours. Did you get money from the Bank of Kazakhstan?
It's not a Bank of Kazakhstan. It's called BTA.
BTA Bank. Kazakhstan BTA Bank. Did you get money from them?
I did.
For what purpose?
The purpose was because the former CEO of that bank had absconded with it was between $4 to $6 billion, and some of that money was here in the United States, and they sought my assistance in terms of finding, locating that money and helping them to recollect it.
So are you saying that all the reports that you were paid in some estimates over $4 million to have access and understanding of the Trump administration, you're saying that all of that was just paid to you just because you're a nice guy?
Well, I am a nice guy, but more importantly,
the record reflects that you're not a nice
guy. Each and every contract contained the clause in my contracts that said, I will not lobby and I do not do government relations work. In fact, Novartis sent me their contract, which stated specifically that they wanted me to lobby, that they wanted me to provide access to government, including the president. That information, that paragraph was crossed out by me initially.
We know how it works. We live through the Clintons.
Not lobby or do government relations work.
So Novartis representatives say that it was like they were hiring a non-registered lobbyist. So you disagree with that?
I don't know what they said, sir, but that the contract
speaks for itself. Have you ever contacted anybody in the administration?
Yes.
To advocate on behalf of any aspect of any of your contracts? Well, I ask unanimous consent, Mr. Chairman. I ask unanimous consent.
The gentleman's time has expired. You may answer the question.
I don't know what you're referring to, sir.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Clay.
Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Oh, my gosh.
Mr. Cohen, I'm
you notice every time he runs out of time, he and you have to answer the question. He's like, I didn't understand. I don't know what. I don't know what you're talking about.
The American people are tired of being lied to. They have been lied to by President Trump. They've been lied to by the president's children. They have been lied to by the president's legal representatives.
That's you.
And it pains me to say that they have been even lied to by his congressional enablers, who are still devoted to perpetuating and protecting.
I was amazed. We talk about this every day, and there's a lot of people that I just never even seen before that are in these hearings.
Like, I know.
I've never seen this guy before in my life.
No, I don't. Mr. Clay. Any idea where Mr. Clay is from?
Missouri.
It says, Missouri.
Yeah. Must be reported accurately on his federal financial disclosures, and when he submits them.
Let's just talk about this for a second.
Cohen, mm-hmm. You serve for nearly a decade.
If I may, this has done Trump absolutely nothing but divide the nation into camps deeper.
Mm-hmm.
If you believe Donald Trump, you're deeper into his corner.
Sure.
If you don't believe Donald Trump, you're deeper with the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
However, if you are neither, if you're just like, I just want the truth, this is a ridiculous soap opera.
Yes.
This is a soap opera that no one would believe. If you wrote it, you wouldn't believe it. You'd be like, they're not going to do that. They're not going to ask that question.
Are you the type that doesn't want to get to the truth about the web stats of the bus tape
imagine
with Billy Bush?
That. Imagine that in a soap opera.
I want to bring up the Hollywood Access Hollywood web stats. Billy Bush's career started in 1991 with an appearance on...
No one would believe it. No one would believe it. I think the 70% of this nation needs to just grab the 30% of the nation by the shoulders and say, stop it! What's wrong with you?
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.